Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, Ray Hager and I speak with Senate Minority Leader Aaron Ford, plus on the Power Pundit panel, Helen Foley and Susan Fisher. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2015 Nevada Legislature is sponsored by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Retail Association of Nevada, and the Nevada State Medical Association.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Through our history, the trucking industry has changed a lot. Today's environmentally compliant trucks are cleaner than ever. And through safety initiatives and technology, we've reduced the number of truck-related fatalities by 73%. This is due to the dedication of the hardworking men and women in the trucking industry, who safely deliver 69% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada. We thank you, because trucks move America forward.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, Ray Hager and I speak with Senate Minority Leader Aaron Ford, plus on the Power Pundit panel, Helen Foley and Susan Fisher. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2015 Nevada Legislature is sponsored by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Retail Association of Nevada, and the Nevada State Medical Association. Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are delighted to welcome back to the program the Senate Minority Leader, State Senator Aaron Ford. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thank you for having me, Sam.
Always a pleasure. So the governor finally turned in the plan here. Have you had a chance to look at it, or were you fully aware of it before it landed?
Neither. I haven't had a chance to completely look at it yet. It's a 200-some-odd page document that we are going to distill and take as much time as we need to analyze.
What did you think about his state of the state tax plan in terms of this business license fee?
Well, as I've said, you know, previously, it sounds like an intriguing idea, something certainly worth vetting. We are in the process of deliberation in our caucus, and we're going to make certain that we look at the plan from front page to back to make certain that it's helpful and not harmful to small businesses and to the middle class.
What did you think about the idea that You know, businesses seem to be pretty upset that they spent millions of dollars fighting the gross receipts tax that the teachers union wanted to put out, and this is essentially the same but with a lower percentage.
Well, you know, I have the feeling we're going to hear their testimony on the 18th, and I'm looking forward to hearing why they say what they say and what the governor and his people have to say in opposition. Ultimately, again, that's part of the deliberative process. We do have in the back of our minds in our caucus that the people of the state of Nevada have indicated that they didn't want a margins tax. I've said before that I thought that was a rejection of a particular tax, but we'll see if the governor has heard the same message.
We had former Speaker Marilyn Kirkpatrick on the program yesterday, and she was talking about the entertainment tax, which is now called the luxury discretion spending tax. Is that something that you're in favor of expanding?
Well, it's certainly a more appropriate name. The types of things that she's trying to get at are certainly luxury items and discretionary spending. And so we, as a legislative Democratic caucus, are supporting that idea.
You know, Senator, let's get back to the business license fee that the governor has proposed. There has been some opposition to that, as you know. Do you think that there is a possibility that that could, in the final plan, that that could be supplanted by a tax on services, as was something that the Las Vegas Metro Chamber of Commerce has pushed? What are your thoughts on a service tax?
Well, we had the hearing on the services tax argument a few weeks back, and I think it was pretty clear that that tax, albeit one that ultimately we may have to get to in this state, is not one we're ready for right now. I advocate the institution of a study over the next biennium, over the next couple of years, so that we can see how to implement that in a smooth way that transitions the traditional sale on goods to a sale on services, lowering the rate on one while introducing the other, and ascertain if that's going to be the way that we can go forward.
So you agree then with the governor, because the governor has also asked for a study on the service tax?
Well, I think at this juncture, the testimony demonstrated that it's more appropriate at this juncture to have a study as opposed to simply jumping into a sales on services.
Okay. And wouldn't that also be problematic in trying to enforce that right away, whereas with the business license fee, everything's in place?
I think the testimony agrees with you in that regard, that it is more difficult to implement. We're going to have some infrastructure changes that we'll have to make or to implement as well in order to effectuate a sales on services tax. In terms of the BOT, certainly some of the infrastructure is already in place, but again, we're not looking at it from that particular lens. We're looking at it from the lens of making certain that it is fair, sustainable, broad-based, and making certain that it doesn't harm our middle-class citizens as well as small businesses.
Senator, early this week, you and the rest of the Democrats presented your Nevada blueprint to help and expand the middle class. You had some noble ideas in there, you know, making sure that women get equal pay to men and making sure that the minimum wage is raised. But being in the minority in both houses, I'm talking about the Democrats, how much can you, in reality, get done off of the Nevada blueprint plan in your position as the minority in both parties?
Well, a couple of responses to that, and I'll begin with the same quote you've heard me say before, that just because the political powers have changed doesn't mean that the Democratic priorities have. We retain our priorities, and we're going to act accordingly. We're going to work to move those ideas forward because we think that it's more, that it is in fact a blueprint upon which we can build to make certain that the middle class is expanded and protected. Now, in terms of the second portion of your question as to whether or not we'll be able to effectuate any of those changes or any of those laws, they're more than ideas, by the way. They are actual bills and BDRs in the drafting process. And we think that every member of that body across the street here, all 63 of us, should be signing on to that bill because, in fact, our constituents and their constituents agree that the things that you've indicated, for example, raising the minimum wage and making certain that we have equal pay for equal women, are important things to expand and protect the middle class.
What do you think about the speed at which the session is moving? Marilyn Kirkpatrick had concerns that things were moving so rapidly that things weren't being vetted properly, being heard out properly.
And listen, terminology is important. And you've indicated exactly what Senator Kirkpatrick's thought was on it as mine. It's not the speed. It's the deliberation. We've proven time and time again that we know how to speedily go through a bill or a BDR or an idea and properly vet it. That's what's lacking here, proper vetting of the issues. The argument has been that we've talked about these issues over the course of sessions. Well, the truth is this deliberative body, this elected legislature has not deliberated upon many of the issues that have come out in a sufficient manner that incorporates, again, the thoughts of the middle class in this thing as opposed to the thoughts of the special interests.
Keeping with that theme of passing things like construction defects and prevailing wage laws, Senator Reuben Cuen, your colleague on the Democratic side, has expressed to me the thought that, okay, you guys pass this now, you're going to set up like a 100 years war over these issues, because when we get back into the majority, we're going to change those laws. And then, of course, if the Republicans retake the majority at some point down the road, they'll want to change the construction defects law back to the way they wanted, and these other laws. It seems like these laws that they're passing so quickly lack the consensus of the entire body of 63 people. I wonder if you could comment on that.
Well, I certainly can. You mentioned my colleague, Senator Cuen. He's obviously my right-hand man in our caucus over there, and he testified yesterday on a bill in lieu of Senator Sekulow, who ultimately was able to arrive a little later, that looks to raise the minimum wage, for example. And that's the perfect contrast. While the Republican colleagues that we have in the legislative body right now are looking to cut overtime pay, we're trying to raise the minimum wage so that people can actually sustain themselves and get off of public assistance, something that the Republicans say that they would rather see the latter, being the state of the state. Now, in terms of the second portion of your question, it's again an issue of, let me correct you on one point.
Okay.
I don't think any of us have ever said that we're going to, quote unquote, change it in 2 years. What we have said is that what has happened because of the lack of deliberation and the lack of cooperation and discussion and negotiation is people have traded a opportunity for a 10-year durability for a 2-year fix. And ultimately, you're going to have fights over the next course of time, because now these laws have gone to the extreme on one end, and you're going to continue to have fights to bring it back toward more of the middle, where, again, the proper balances between the middle class people who are being affected, the homeowners who actually are being affected, and the home builders who build those.
Okay, let's take a break. More with Senator Ford when we come back.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
From your house to the White House, the folks at D&D Roofing can get it fixed with their eyes closed.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator Aaron Ford. So it was interesting, picking up on what you said in the last portion of that segment there, that the Republicans have traded 10-year durability for a 2-year fix. But the reality is that you were never going to get the entire body together on these issues. These have been the issues that have been batted backwards and forwards, you know, for every session that I've been a viewer of. Isn't the reality that as long as you have Governor Sandoval in place, this is at least a four-year fix, unless there's such a dramatic turnover that you would have two-thirds majorities in both houses?
Yeah, so let me qualify my statement again, right, because I say two-year fix. The point I'm making is next session we'll be talking about this again, whether the bills get heard because, you know, we don't regain the majority or whether they get ultimately vetoed because we have the majority but the governor vetoes it. The point is the conversation is now not over, and it could have been. And I'll give
really?
You...
Really? Do you think it could have been? What do you think would have been the middle ground?
Let me offer you an example. And I say 10-year durability for a particular reason, right? For the last decade or so, we've been fighting over a construction defect and trying to make it more balanced, if you will, in favor, more balanced, you know, for the home builders in this regard. And so I personally, over the last 18 months, have been coordinating and working with the home builders myself as a Democratic individual, attempting to find a middle ground on those things. And so had some of the ideas that the negotiation process had uncovered been implemented this go-around, then we wouldn't have the discussion necessarily next year.
Well, can you share what that middle ground might have looked like?
Well, listen, we offered two amendments on the floor to help temper some of the extreme provisions that were in that bill, and one of them related to the time frame under which a homeowner could sue to fix a home. What we're talking about here is a 30-year investment that's 75% of someone's life self-worth, if you will, or economic worth in their retirement, and they want to offer 6 years as a statute of limitations. That's the same statute of limitations you get for a typical fraud claim on a, you know, when you buy a car, if you will. So it's a different type of a scenario, and we should have expanded that particular statute of limitations. It went from, by the way, that bill initially had, not the bill, but the law had no statute of limitations in there, and they instituted one that was at 6 years. We offered 15. He thought that was a decent compromise. Similarly, the bill removed any opportunity or any incentive for a person who has, a defect from hiring an attorney, because ultimately at this juncture, most attorneys aren't going to be able to take those small cases. And how is it fair that a home builder can build a home in a shoddy manner, and then the home builder, the home owner himself, has to go in and spend his own attorney's fees to get that fixed?
Well, you know, to me, it points to the partisan nature of this session, Senator. And another thing that points to the partisan nature of this session is the seating chart on the Senate floor. On the left-hand side of the floor, you have all the Democrats seated. On the right side, you have all the Republicans seated. And last session, they were all seated, interspaced. It kind of helped with congeniality and the sharing of ideas. Now it's like you have a iron curtain in the middle of the floor. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, it's less really about the seating chart, which, as you've indicated, is a visual representation of the partisan nature, and more about the fact that the reason why we're partisan is so partisan in that building is that because the priorities of the Republicans are partisan. And ultimately, again, an opportunity to find consensus, to find an opportunity to cooperate and coordinate and come up with something that's best for the state of Nevada is what the Nevada Democrats are looking
for. But you wouldn't sit here and say that Democrats are not partisan as well. I mean, obviously, you know, otherwise we wouldn't have two parties.
Sam, here's what I will say. The proof is in the pudding. Look at you and I, 2 years ago, had a conversation when I was chair of the Natural Resources Committee. I told you I don't hunt, I don't fish, I don't go outside. I knew nothing about natural resources, which made me, a relatively decent chair, because what you found on the outside, on the outcome, was that every single bill, with the exception of maybe two, came out unanimous. Why is that? It's because I made the effort to speak to the other Republican members of that committee to be certain that their issues were dealt with, that they were satisfied ultimately. You know, no one was completely satisfied, but the fact is I worked, and I didn't need to. I could have made it a 3-2 vote out of that committee every single time, and an 11-10 vote on the floor every single time, but that's not what we did. That is proof in the pudding, and that's what I'm talking about when I say you don't have to be partisan.
And if you keep this up, we'll call it statesmanship. That's
sure.
Where we have to leave it. Thank you so much for being here. Please come back soon.
Thank you.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2015 Nevada Legislature is sponsored by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Retail Association of Nevada, and the Nevada State Medical Association.
it comes to delivering energy, a lot happens behind the scenes. NV Energy generates thousands of megawatts of energy and moves it along miles and miles of transmission and distribution lines to Nevada homes and businesses. So when you flip a switch or push a button, there are no surprises.
There is a lot at stake when you've been seriously injured.
But what happens next is critical. That's why you need expert legal representation.
Let us help you get back on track and fight for the compensation you deserve.
Galloway and Jensen, we fight for you.
The Nevada Division of Insurance has a simple mission. We help with insurance issues. We'll clear up confusion or investigate a complaint. For any type of insurance, talk to us. We're here to help.
Recycled Furniture offers the area's only heat treatment of bedroom and upholstered furniture. When you are looking to buy or sell furniture, think Recycled Furniture. Recycled Furniture, Midtown Reno, where it's always new to you.
The University of Nevada School of Medicine has been making Nevada healthier for more than 45 years. Our groundbreaking research is making an impact locally, nationally, and worldwide. And we're making a difference with doctors providing medical care near you. As Nevada's statewide public medical school, we offer an educational value amongst the highest in the country. We are partnering with leading Nevada hospitals and healthcare institutions to combine teaching and learning with outstanding clinical care. Join us in improving Nevada's health and yours.
There is a lot at stake when you've been seriously injured.
But what happens next is critical. That's why you need expert legal representation.
We've worked for the insurance companies, and we will fight for every dollar you deserve.
Galloway and Jensen, we fight for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel as always. Helen Foley is here with Fess Foley Warren. And Susan Fisher is Government Affairs Group VP with McDonnell Carano Wilson. So interesting things Senator Ford brought out there. One was this construction defects, where he was saying that they settled for 6 years, but he was really trying to negotiate 15 years. 15 years? Most construction companies be in and out of business, wouldn't they?
That's absolutely correct.
So who do you go after? Right.
Well, you know, the trial lawyers had been in control of that for way too long because of who had been in control of both houses for a long time. And I think it's overdue. And it was time to get this. They've been working on getting the construction defects fixed so that people can stay in business. They still have avenues for recourse. The homeowners still have protections, but it's a little bit more reasonable now.
Helen?
I agree 100%. Some of these homeowners and the way that it was working, they didn't even have to say where the defect was. Mm-hmm. It's been bad for a long time, all the corruption in the federal case, forced suicides. It was high time for a reform.
Okay, so Susan, another thing that Senator Ford brought up was minimum wage. Mm-hmm. Do you think this is going anywhere in this session?
No. Do you want me to elaborate?
If you would care to.
No, I don't think that it will. I think that's enough said.
Okay, well, that was not a good elaboration there.
The minimum wage was in the Democrats' Nevada blueprint to expand the middle mm-hmm. class, and I can't see hardly anything in that blueprint passing unless it's part of the governor's budget. That's mm-hmm. the only way that I think the Democrats are going to get anything in their agenda accomplished, if it's also in the governor's budget.
Mm-hmm. How anyone can live on $7.25 an hour is beyond me. We should have a livable wage. Unfortunately, I don't think it'll pass this time.
Okay, but, you know, the reality is that you know, we want to have as many people employed as possible, and I'm not saying that, you know, $7.50 is a livable wage, but there are a lot of people who do minimum wage jobs that are not trying to raise a family. They may be students. They may be, you know, trying to help with their tuition, entry-level jobs, not meant to be permanent jobs.
I agree with you, but if I take my kids to McDonald's and I see an awful lot of middle-aged people, people in their 30s and 40s, they aren't just doing it for pleasure. They aren't just doing it.
Isn't that part of the economy, though, that, you know, we went through this terrible downturn. A lot of people that would normally be working in better paying jobs are being forced to take lesser jobs. But in the business world, some people don't have companies anymore.
And with each quarter or 50 cents or 75 cents that you raise the minimum wage, how many other people do you put out of business as well? You put out of a job as well, because small businesses may not be able to afford to raise everybody up that much, so they're going to knock one person off the payroll list.
You know, I think there's a social conscience here that I think people should adhere to, is that people cannot live on $7 an hour. And it's indefensible.
Well, I don't know. You know, when I came to this country, I started out life as a gopher on a construction crew, and my initial wage was $3.50 an hour. This is back in 1974. The boss came out, saw the quality of my work, and lowered my wage to $2.50 an hour. I think I saved more money working on that job than I've ever done percentage-wise in my life. But it was getting a foot in the door and being able to move forward. I think that's part of the American dream. You know, sometimes you have to work 2-3 jobs to be able to make a living. I think probably all of us on this panel have done that at some time or another.
I think the $15 that Senator Segerblum proposed is too high, but maybe $10 is very reasonable.
And what happens if the federal minimum wage is raised because we're a dollar above the federal minimum wage?
Mm-hmm. I think we'd live with it.
I don't know if everybody would. Okay, just quickly around the table here. The governor's tax plan finally landed last night. Yep. Anybody had a chance to delve into this?
I did. I actually read it last night. The first 58 pages are what you really need to read. That's the real meat of it. The most important numbers, when you're thinking about the budget, the most important numbers to remember are 28 and 14. That's what he's got to get to get them out of each house.
Okay.
So...
is it essentially what he said in his State of the State?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I am by no means a tax expert. Most of the tax bills out there I can't read. My CPA will certainly agree that I am not a tax expert. I actually was able to understand this. It's very understandable. It's easy. It would be easy for a small business person to be able to look at this and say, okay, based on my last year's income, here's what I would have had to pay, so that they can plan for it, they can budget for it. And it's not outrageous. It's not outrageous.
Maybe for the small business, I represent T-Mobile, and the telecom industry is very concerned because they have the highest rate. And so I think there'll be a lot of give and take. There are a lot of different plans out there. I think that the final result will be a conglomeration of several of them.
I agree with that as well.
We are out of time. That's where we're going to leave it. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
If you want to sell your home, call Marshall Realty. What separates us is our commitment to market your home everywhere. And I promise you results or you pay me nothing. Call today at 473-1055.
Parents across Nevada are calling Governor Brian Sandoval's proposals to fund public education brave. English language learners, universal kindergarten, reading by third grade, special needs, and gifted children. The governor's program touches so many families.
We help legislators to be as brave as Brian Sandoval.
I'm Luella Chavez, mother of two public school kids, reporting for Nevada Schools News.
If you want amazing results and a marketing expert, you need to call Marshall Realty. My guarantee is your 100% satisfaction, or you pay me no commission. Call me today if you want to see how we invest in marketing your home.
On our next broadcast, Lance Gilman of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. We'll see you then.